Grounded theory is a common approach for doing qualitative research. The GOIA method is one implementation of this approach. The term grounded theory can be understood in two different meanings. In a broad sense, it can be understood as any approach where theory comes from the data, so that you don't have any prior theory that you're testing. Instead, you're analyzing your data, and then the theory emerges based on that data. Or you get new ideas about a theory based on the data. So that's what it is about. Another way of understanding grounded theory is that it's a set of specific procedures for generating theory based on qualitative data. And this view takes a couple of books as the main references, and then if you follow the advice on these books, then you're doing grounded theory. If you are building theories from qualitative data using some other ways than the ways described in these books, then you're not doing grounded theory. Whether or which of the two ways you use grounded theory is not particularly important, as long as it is clear to your reader what you're doing. GOIA is one of the leading experts on doing this kind of research in management, and therefore we call following his approach as the GOIA method. So what is the GOIA method about, and why do we need a method named after a person? The problem with qualitative research is that there are no real standards on how to do qualitative research, and there are no right or wrong answers. To understand what that means, we can take a look at what quantitative research is about. So typically in quantitative research, we must make a causal claim. To do so, we demonstrate association, direction of influence, and we eliminate rival explanations. We have standard ways of doing that. Association, we calculate some kind of correlation or some kind of other linear or nonlinear association depending on the data and phenomenon. And direction of influence, we use time delay between X and Y, and then we have two main strategies for eliminating rival explanations. We use regression analysis. If that's not appropriate, we have rules that we can apply to choose an alternative technique. When we validate measurements, we use factor analysis, and we calculate coefficient alpha, and that basically covers us. When we present results, there are standards on how you build your tables to show the numbers to your readers. The problem with qualitative research has been that there are really no right and wrong answers. But recently, we have had the emergence of two different templates in management research. So basically, researchers have seen that some qualitative researchers have been able to consistently publish articles in top journals. And then we think that, okay, maybe these two persons or their teams are doing something correctly, and maybe that is something that we could emulate. These approaches are the Eisenhardt method of multiple case studies that dates back to 1989 article, and GOIA method for grounded theory, typically a single case study that is a bit more recent. Let's take a look at the GOIA method in more detail. The differences between these methods is that the GOIA method generally applies an interpretive lens. So instead of focusing on comparing cases, how the reality of those cases differ, and is there any patterns that allow us to make generalizable statements, that is the heart of Eisenhardt's method. In the GOIA method, we typically focus on one case, and then we focus on it over time, and we interview people, we look at documents, and we try to study people's interpretations of the events and how those interpretations shape the future of the organization or whatever unit that we are studying. So these are different in their philosophical assumptions, and they are also different in how the data are analyzed and how the data are presented. And of course, if you want to get objective facts or if you want to get interpretations of people, you need to adjust your interview protocol accordingly. Let's take a look at more closer look at the GOIA method. And here is just at the end of the table that shows that there are differences in how we write when we do these tables. So the Eisenhardt or report research, Eisenhardt's method uses tables, tries to be objective, and then tries to basically quantify and abstract out the informant. And then the GIO method is more about telling stories of how the informants perceive the situation. So how does one do the analysis part of the GIO method, and how does one present the results? Well, this is not a right or wrong way, but this is how Denny GIO does it, and he has been successful. Therefore, people have started emulating him. The GIO method, the analysis part, once you have collected your data, or of course in a qualitative analysis project, you always analyze the data while you collect it. But it starts with open coding. So the idea is that we approach the data with basically a clean slate. We don't really have an idea of what are the key concepts that we want to derive from the data, what are the theories that we want to test. Rather, we just go through the interview transcripts or whatever qualitative data we have, and then we code it. So we try to find these lower level meanings. For example, here, these quotes, "We need to listen to clients," tells us that clients are important for this company. "And we need to extend beyond solving problems that clients tell us," and that basically tells us the same thing. So both of these quotes tell us that the company views clients as important. And once we have done this coding of these first order categories, so we need to get the like the lowest level of coding, we start to combine them into more abstract categories. And this produces something that GIO calls the data structure. And we have the title of your data structure. So the first order categories, these are the codes. You might have a couple of hundred codes in a big project. So this is basically a representative of sample of codes. And then you start to combine codes. For example, "need to be more market pool," "clients are more important." That creates an identity change imperative. So this company, Tekmar, was originally a technology-focused company, and now they need to become more customer and more market-focused company. So we are combining these first-order categories into higher-order themes, and then once we have the higher-order themes, we are still increasing the level of abstraction by combining them under overarching dimensions. For example, we have new knowledge imperatives that have three different dimensions. Once we have completed the data structure, which means that we have the coding and we have combined the categories, the initial first level categories into second order categories and then overarching dimensions, then we start to build our theory. And typically in GIO's approach, the theory is presented as a process that unfolds over time. And he likes to use this kind of graphics. So there is pre-graphed context. He tells what was the company before the knowledge graph attempt, then what happened when the knowledge graph was applied, what was the implications, and how did people respond to that. And then you construct a theory for why this happened based on people's interpretations. There are some guidelines on how to do this kind of research well. And these are guidelines presented by GIO himself in an organizational research methods article. And he says that this research starts with a good research question. So the research question is typically more open-ended than would be in Eisenhardt's approach. And it might not rely as much on prior theory as much it relies on an interesting phenomenon. And then you want to understand the phenomenon and you basically start from a clean slate. Then you collect rich data from the informants and particularly focus on how the informants interpret the situation. Then you analyze the data based on the three levels of abstraction, and then you collect a narrative that explains what happened in the organization and why. And then finally, you write your report.